51. The worst part about the free-bounding exercise he did in zero grav was the sweat. Sweat didn't run. Redwing clung to a stanchion and mopped some from his eyes, but it was hard to get it all. Some covered his eyes in lenses. Blinking only made his image of the big craft bay wobble. Then his belt rang, reminding him of his appointments with Carl, and then Beth. Carl was waiting. Redwing hated showing up late for a crew appointment, but he had needed the exercise to clear his mind. As they went into his cabin, he saw his wall was running their real-time view. He was glad to see they had rounded the bowl lip, and so could see the knothole region again. Radiation remained near zero as the diaphanous sun-dweller's mag shield followed their orbit. Redwing could not imagine magnetic stresses that could grasp and guide a starship of 1,000 tons, but he was getting used to the apparently impossible. Carl grinned. It's been a hell of a ride. The way Beth drove us down into the cinch point of the knothole, and then stood us here, blasting plasma out the back and pushing the standing kink over towards center, into a straight line. Wow. Just wow. Redwing nodded. The finger snakes loved it, too. They're bright, seem to know a lot about how the jet works. I've seen piloting, but never like that. We owe her one.
Maybe more than one, Carl said, but Redwing let it pass.
Carl studied the hurricanes visible on long-range scopes. They were beyond spectacular, when you adjusted for scale. In the fractured zones near the knothole, the seas were giving up their moisture to the lowered atmospheric pressure. An enormous hurricane fed on the air pressure drop, a quickening drift toward the ruptured atmospheric envelope.
"Maybe we need a new term," Carl said.
He stood and pointed on the wall. "See those eddies form in the big churning spiral, then spin off into hurricanes? It's a fractal fluid turbulence." He increased screen resolution. "So those too fling out smaller hurricanes, and so on, down to some scale, more like Earth's puny varieties."
"So more and more of them dance out their fury on the life below," Redwing said, musing.
"They'll take a while to patch the tears."
Carl turned away, shaking his head. "We really went too far."
There was business to do, but he asked instead, "A celebration seems in order. The old eat, drink, and be merry. Plus, we're all tired. Let's let the Artilex take over, say 2 hours from now, and muster the crew."
Carl nodded, distracted. Redwing reflected that at tonight's party, the entree steak would not be meat. The wine would be water plus a grape extract and alcohol, and the water was fashioned from their collective piss. After all the deaths, maybe being merry was the hard part.
"Captain, this blizzard of info we're getting from Tan and Nareve and the folk, it's hard to digest. We're getting their point of view, and I try to cock it around to our line of sight."
"They're old, we're young. To be expected."
Carl gave a wry smile. "Some of these messages, I sort of feel that they should have a space for fill-in name, address, and solar system. It's hard to grasp their assumptions."
"And so hard to know how to negotiate with them?"
"Damn right. Look, the bowl is on a journey that takes it all over a chunk of the available galaxy. They should have settled most of the local arm by now, but these bird folk, they're deeply conservative. They don't seem to leave colonies."
Redwing pursed his lips, sat back, and watched the super hurricane grinding on. He tried not to think about what was happening below them. His work.
They say that's because the bowl is perfect. Suited for the smart dinosaurs that built it. Warm, stable, predictable weather. They don't want to leave it. So?"
"Then who's doing the exploring?"
"The folk don't want to advertise this, but it's pretty clear. They tried colonies and failed. After millions of years in this nice, steady place, heaven, right? They don't work out well on planets."
"But they say they keep track of every star they've visited. That's how they knew what was going on. The great shame, all that."
Carl leaned forward with a thin smile.
"It's the ice mines. They think slow, they live slow, but there's still room for boredom. They've left some of themselves in the local Oort clouds, all over this galactic arm, plus Earth's. They like it. There's no weather there. Stable, gives them lots of data, propagates the species, too."
"And the folk?"
"They're the caretakers,
They pick up some new species every million years or so, but mostly they just lord it over all the other species on the bowl. The adopted, they call them.
And we're the new kids on the block?
Where do you see this?
Carl clicked his tablet and flashed a picture on the opposite wall. A view of two spheres orbiting each other, black and white. A simulation, too clean to be real.
The ice mines think the Glorians have a binary-charged black hole system, Tananarive said.
It looks like this, they say. Since the black holes are basically very large charged particles, you could control their orbits with very large electromagnetic containment fields. That avoids collision of the black holes. But then they swerve them a little, so the near misses generate intense gravitational waves. That's the Glorian's communication link with other big-time civilizations in the galaxy.
And the ice mines want in on the conversation?
This was getting stranger than he liked.
Social climbers, yes. They want to meet the adults, looks like.
Redwing frowned.
But they can't have black holes around the bowl. Too dangerous.
Maybe so, but these black holes are small, maybe a few meters across.
That small? It's still massive.
Right. Around 100 times more massive than Earth. Oh, and the Glorians made the holes, too.
What?
The ice mines want to find out how.
And we're headed there.
Redwing wanted to think this through, but a polite knock told him it was time for Beth. Carl said,
I was talking to Fred just now, and he made an interesting point. Remember when we were all approaching the bowl?
Flabbergasted, sure.
But now, Fred says to him, it's been like a twisted encounter with the eventual human future.
That makes no sense.
In a tilted way, in Fred's style of thinking anyway, Sunseeker left an Earth already pretty well worked over by the human hand, remember? Sunlight reflected by sulfur dioxide particles shimmering in its stratosphere, so at the right angle we could see it from space. Clouds of seawater mist billowing up from those small sail ships to shield oceans from sunlight. Big carbon collector towers stretching out across continents. Farm waste rounded up and consigned to the deep ocean, where it'll keep for 1,000 years, throwing fine ground chalk into those oceans every year, remember that? In masses equal to the white cliffs of Dover.
Redwing nodded, recalling the furiously working fretwork of corrections.
Right. To offset the acid from absorbed CO2. I was in deep space for decades running hot nukes. Made no difference to us.
Me too, mostly. Somebody else's problem, and we had plenty of our own, running closed biospheres.
Carl gave a wry shrug.
That was pretty much taking on an infinite career, endlessly shaping habitat. So I see Fred's point. Why didn't he come with you to lay it out?
Carl gave Redwing a skeptical arched eyebrow.
You don't know he's scared of you?
He does seem a bit quiet.
He's not when you're absent. His point is, someone or something faced those same problems long ago. They built the bowl to be a better place. Got tired of planets, probably. Wanted to venture into the night sky, but in no hurry. So they took a big fraction of the species with them. Left behind the stay-at-homes.
Redwing liked this.
You and Fred are saying they wanted managed landscapes that seem natural. All nice and dinosaur-friendly warm under a constant reddish sun. Plus, it's Amigo, the Jolly Jet.
Carl chuckled.
God knows what Earth looks like now, centuries into running its biosphere.
Is this a way of saying you and Fred want to stay on the bowl?
Not at all.
So what do I do with this new input?
He disliked asking advice from crew, but at least they were alone.
How does it affect going to Glory?
I thought you should hear what the crew thinks.
Time's up, I know.
Carl stood and saluted. I want to go see the show at Glory, sir. Sail on.
He left. When Beth came in, he could see her jaw set at a determined angle. She had looked that way through the long, hard hours straightening the standing knot. When it was done, she had barely made it to her quarters.
Captain, I formally request transfer to the colony on the bowl.
Colony?
Things were moving too damn fast.
The folk... Okay, they're just speaking for the ice mines now. They say Cliff's team all want to stay. I want to join them.
Look, I can't have crew leaving. We need a sharp pilot.
Warm one up. I'm a biologist first, just a backup pilot, really.
You're our best, the way you flew us.
Then it's payback time, Captain. You made the deal with the folk, right?
Not the folk, no. The ice mines and the Diaphanous, actually, seems like.
You have to leave some of us on the bowl, then. So leave enough to reproduce without inbreeding.
The genetic stores
need enough founding population to reduce risk, even with the genetic augmentations from the database. That's at least 100 people. No, several hundred. Defrost them while we're resupplying.
You want a
colony. That's what we were sent for. Redwing told himself to stay steady, calm, but his heart thumped harder.
I'll have to do that anyway, Beth. The Fingersnakes want to ride with us. Just the three, a male and two females. They don't seem to have an inbreeding problem. But 50 Sill have already been picked. There are other species who might want to board. The Ardalecs say they can rework the freezer capsules, but some of our passengers will have to stay awake longer than optimal.
You've got room for a bigger live crew, don't you? You're launching fully provisioned, yes? We're already near relativistic speed.
Faster than that. We'll fly up the jet and get a boost from rounding the sun. Sure you want to miss that?
I'm sure. I'm the one who wants to stay, Captain. Cliff is going along with that. Redwing sighed.
Then there's no room for bird folk, of course, except as fertilized eggs in an artificial womb. But they want that, and it's a big volume.
Beth's mouth twisted.
After all they did to us?
It's part of our deal. Those folk don't run the bowl. They're more like the cop on the beat.
Corrupt cops. They kill other species to keep some equilibrium of theirs running. It's a murderous regime. They chased us, imprisoned us.
We'll be carrying them because we could hardly carry ice mines. Though we will have a Diaphanous. More on that later when it's worked out.
But your charge Earthside wasn't to pick up aliens and carry them.
You have to adjust your initial launch orders to the situation. Beth, I'll have to download nearly half our passengers, and how do I pick them? It isn't as if I could thaw them and let them choose. They get no more vote than the unborn.
Beth said,
"Pick mated couples. Pick the ones who wanted to colonize rather than explore. We were tested for attitudes.
We were all picked for adaptability. Even so."
She leaned forward, smiling.
He sat back, a little mouth twitch telling her he found that a bit strange. "Look at our larger aim, to get humanity out into the galaxy. Play the big game. This way we have two colonies."
"Glory's a bigger game," he said.
She hadn't heard Carl go on about the black hole radiator theory, but no doubt she would in the mess later, when the reconstituted booze started flowing.
"Glory's not our kind of game, I guess. Not yet."
She shrugged ruefully.
"It's maybe a league up from what we can handle. The ball was tough enough."
Redwing knew enough to wait. Her voice became soft, almost sympathetic.
"But we'll get there. The bowl will get our first human colony to glory. Long after I'm dead, sure. And I'm hoping to reach 200. Hell, more. But we humans will get there. And be waiting to meet up with you."
Redwing frowned.
"I have orders."
"And crew. You'll have nearly 1,000 left in Cold Sleep. Plus, you know, not all our people on the ground down there want to stay. Tannen Reeve doesn't. She's had enough of the folk, thank you."
"Okay, I heard that. You want to reunite with Cliff, too, so you'll join this bowl colony you want."
"Right, but not because of Cliff, especially. He's important to me, sure, but..."
"Oh, that's right.
You probably know from the field reports. Somebody must have blabbed, though it's obvious. He's been screwing Irma."
"Well, I'm not prepared to reveal."
"You don't have to. Put people under dire threat for many months, and the prospect of death makes them set about being sure there's going to be a replacement. Plus, it feels good when the world threatens you. Hey, I'm a biologist."
"I know. And Irma's coming with us. So is her husband. You don't..."
"I don't mind. Irma, Cliff, that was a field event, as we used to call it. Whatever works in a pinch, I say. And... isn't that party you talked about earlier about to start?"
A big, sunny smile. And she gave him, unmistakably, a wink.